Hashem has blessed us with a beautiful day. And the Rebbe has blessed us with two beautiful Torahs in Purim. Okay, so we'll start with the one on Reish Mem Tes, which is from the year Tafshin Beis, 1942. And then we'll go back to his piece from 1940 from Tafshin. Okay, page Reish Mem Tes. Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahola V'samecha B'rosum Yachad Tcheles Mordechai. The Rebbe has a very simple question. It's a piyut, it's a song, it's a beautiful... It's a beautiful tefillah that we daven after reading the Megillah. But what exactly was the simcha bir osam yachad tcheles Mordechai? I saw Mordechai was wearing tzitzis, and Klai Yisrael went crazy. And the crowd went wild. Why is the tefillah emphasizing that they saw the tcheles of Mordechai? The main simcha was what? The Yeshua. Lo al shenis labish Mordechai b'tcheles u'levush malchus. I mean, again, yes, it was part of the enhanced celebration, the recognition that Mordechai was being acknowledged by Achashverosh and Haman's leading him in the streets. But again, if we want to emphasize what we're celebrating on Purim, it's the fact that we survived. Not that Mordechai got to dress up in some nice clothing. V'lama hiktim od b'shir as ha'yeshua shel levush ha'tcheles. It sounds like the whole song, the tefillah, is out of order. How could it mention the fact that Mordechai is wearing garments of tcheles before it even says, Chu'asam ha'yisa lanetzach, their salvation was an eternal salvation, v'tikvasam b'chol dor v'dor, and the salvation of Purim becomes a tikva. What's a tikva? The hope of every generation. That's the main thing. The tefillah should begin. We were saved. And that should give us chizuk forever. That should give us hope in all generations. Oh, and by the way, it was extra geshmak that Mordechai got to wear, the levush tcheles. Why start with mentioning the levushim, the garments of Mordechai? So the Rebbe explains that, however, there's two types of difficulties, categorical difficulties that we go through in life. Aval pasuk omer tfila la'ani kiyatov ulefnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. Tfila la'ani, the tfila of the impoverished one. Kiyatov. When a person puts on their talis, they make a bracha. Right? Lehisatev bitzitzis, or batzitzis. Machlokes, bitzitzis, batzitzis. Right? When you wear a talis gadol, you make a bracha of lehisatev. Atifa means what? To be enveloped. To be wrapped up in it. So sometimes a person is what? A person is wrapped in difficulties, and he pours out his heart to Hashem. If a person only experiences minor difficulties, he's able to conceal them inside of himself. He's able to get up in the morning and put on a smile for his friends or his colleagues. He's able to pretend that everything's fine because it's really not fine. He's hurting badly on the inside, but he's able to hide it. He's able to put on a good face. He's able lahastiram bekirbo, to conceal them inside of himself. Because after all, his suffering is smaller than he is. He's not completely overwhelmed by it. And therefore, he surrounds it. He surrounds them. He surrounds his suffering. His suffering is within him. But he's sort of the bigger picture. And not that that's a good thing, If you're in pain, it's good to try to get even that little bit of pain out of yourself. To find a good friend, like it says, like the Gemara says, Da'aga b'lev ish, the pasuk, but the Gemara's drush on the pasuk, Da'aga b'lev ish, if a person has worries in his heart, Yisichena la'acherim, he should talk it out with others. So it's not good to even leave a little bit of pain lingering in your heart, because that could eventually, sprout. But at least he's got it under control. So his makif, his external presentation, is, I got it together. He's hurting on the inside. Right? But he's bigger than the small bit of suffering that he's experiencing. Ukish misrabim yoser. But when the pain is bigger than that, as it grows, chas v'shalom, kvar eina yachol ha'astirim. He's not able to hide it. You look at this person, you say right away, what's wrong? What's bothering you? Right? It's enveloping the person. It's on their outside. You can see it. They're surrounded in it. They're swimming in it. They're drowning in it, would be a good imagery. They can't keep it inside anymore, and they need to reveal it with speech or with tears or with screaming. Right? Sometimes a person, you know, you stub your toe, right? And like there's a part of you that wants to scream, but you bite your tongue. But sometimes a person gets injured in a way that you can't keep it in. You scream, you cry, right? You can't hold back the tears. Because it's become so significant that he's not able to be makifit. He's not able to surround it. He's not able to envelop it, to keep it inside of himself. But sometimes his difficulty is he feels so overwhelmed by life. And again, as we've said many, many times, we have permission, I think. I hope the Rebbe's not going to be mad at me when I meet him one day, right? But I think we have permission to apply the suffering that the Rebbe's describing to our own circumstances. Even though again, he's talking about being surrounded by Nazis, yimach shemam, and having your life hanging in the balance. But each of us, in our own way, we've all had moments in our life where we feel completely overwhelmed, not slightly overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed. That we're ma'utaf behem, we're wrapped in it like a talis. We're totally wrapped up in our frustrations, in our suffering, in our uncertainties. Bibechinas vayakaf rosh usla'a, like it says in Eicha. Right? To be totally enveloped. Mukaf. You know, it's interesting. In Purim, we have unwalled cities, and then we have what? We have krachim that are mukafim choma, right? That are totally wrapped up. Maybe initially wrapped up in the suffering of Haman, totally in Haman's grasp, and then maybe totally wrapped up, almost like a hug, wrapped up in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms of salvation. So tefillah la'anikiyatov, the tefillah of an impoverished person when he's totally enveloped, as atzmo b'ha'anias v'tzaros, when he's enveloped by what? He's wrapped up in his poverty, he's wrapped up in his difficulties, and therefore, l'chein lifnei Hashem yishboch sicho, he can't keep it in anymore. He has to cry out to Hashem. The way Mordechai is screaming in the streets in the Megillah, right? The city of Shushan, when they find out the plot at the end of the third parak, at the end of the third parak of the Megillah, when they find out the plot, and Achashverosh and Haman sit down to drink, va'ir Shushan navocha, and the city of Shushan is bewildered. That's like that initial shock. You don't even know what to do. Should I cry? We strategize, right? Just you're so shell shocked from the reports that just came out of the palace that the king signed off on the murder of all the Jewish people. So everyone's kind of like frozen in place. And Mordechai, understanding how intense this is, Mordechai is screaming in the streets, right? It's a zaka gadol. He's crying out. So again, so tefillah la'anikiyatov, the tefillah of the impoverished individual when he's enveloped by his tzaros and he pours out his heart to Hashem lifnei Hashem yishboch sicho sheshofech es kol atzmo, he pours out himself before Hashem. Ukmo shamar b'mizmar keili keili lama azavtani kemayim nishpachti. Tilim perkhav beis is what Esther davened on her way into Achashverosh. She said, Eili Eili lama azavtani, my God, why have you abandoned me? And then she says, "Kamayim nishpachti, I have been spilled like water." Right? You pour yourself out before Hashem. You feel like you don't have a kli anymore. You don't have a vessel to contain your pain. You're spilled out before Hashem. V'chein lahatech. However, of course, the story of Purim is not a story of suffering. It's a story of Baruch Hashem, salvation. So the reverse is also true. Kisha Hashem ozer liish rak Yeshua katana. When a person experiences a small Yeshua, when Hashem helps you in a small way, kefit tzarchiosav, in accordance with your minimal needs, azhu makif as a Yeshua shabalam. So then that feeling of joy, right, that sense of salvation, again, lies within the person, and the person surrounds it. Masha ein kein chaver, this is what Purim is. Why on Purim is the simcha just like spilling over? Because the tzara was spilling over. We're enveloped in it. We're swimming in it on Purim. When Hashem saves you in a way that is more than your needs and more than your worthiness, as a Yeshua makefesoso. Then he becomes what? He becomes enveloped by the Yeshua. He's wrapped up in the salvation. Like it says about Chodesh Nisan, and we'll get to this Torah, the Rebbe has a beautiful teaching on this, not really his actually, it's from earlier Tzaddikim. But we say in the Tfilos that some people insert into the davening on Parshas HaChodesh, we use that expression, Yeshuos Bo Makifos. Yeshuos Bo Makifos, the simple pshat, again, he'll give us a different pshat, which is a very geshmak pshat, but we'll get to that when we get there. But he's saying, the Pasha Pshat is that we say, Yeshuos Bo Makifos. In the month of Nisan, when Hashem saved us with Dam Tardeya Kinam Arav, like, oh, when we saw that, when the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim came together, again, all those, you know, makros took place over many months, but I'm saying when all of that culminated in Nisan with the freeing of Bnei Yisrael, there was a sense of what? Yeshuos Bo Makifos. In the month of Nisan, salvation is what? Is surrounding. You're enveloped in it. You're swimming in it. It's not just like a little Yeshua. It's a total enveloping Yeshuos Bo Makifos. Person is wrapped up in Yeshua. So says the Rebbe in the next paragraph, Ha'inyan Efshar, and I'm going fast because we've got to get to the other piece also. So if there's any questions, just ask. Ha'inyan Efshar Kinoda Sheba Oros Usviros Yesh Or Pnimi Or Makif. Right now the Rebbe's going to talk a little bit Kabbalah, but don't be nervous, don't be overwhelmed. We can get the basic gist of it. When it comes to the Oros, when it comes to Sviros, when it comes to manifestations of Hashem in this world, Hashem sends lights into our world, and Hashem sends enveloping lights that surround our world. In the language of, again, Pnimiyas HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Memale Kol Almin, Visovev Kol Almin. Okay, Zusha didn't make up those words. Memale Kol Almin, Visovev Kol Almin. Memale Kol Almin means fills all worlds and surrounds all worlds. Memale Kol Almin, filling all worlds, Visovev Kol Almin. Another way to say that is called Or Pnimi and Or Makif, right? A light that is infused within and an enveloping light, a makif, like a talis that surrounds. Or Pnimi hu Or Katan Shiachola Kli L'Sovlo. So an Or Pnimi is when I have a cup and I start to fill it up and there's enough Kli to contain whatever I'm pouring into it, whether it's water or wine or whatever it is, coffee. Right, so if it's a smaller light, that the cup can contain it, that the vessel can contain it, that's called an Or Pnimi. But if it spills over, because the Kli can't handle it, that's called an Or Makif. It surrounds. If I fill the cup up with too much liquid, it overflows. Maybe that's part of the idea of maybe overflowing the cup on Motzei Shabbos, right? Havdalah, for those who have that practice. Some are not into that practice, but for those who are into that practice, and maybe that's part of the idea, is that I want Shabbos to spill over into the week to create kind of that protective, you know, force field around me, surrounding me. So an Or Pnimi is a light that can be contained within the vessel. An Or Makif hu Or Rav She'ein HaKli Yechola L'Sovlo. It's a light that is so powerful that the vessel can't contain it. V'yotze u'makif osomi b'chutz. And therefore it envelops it from the outside. So, the same thing is true about suffering and salvation. There's pain that we can contain within ourselves and put on a happy face, even though we're hurting on the inside. And then there's pain that is so overwhelming that what? That we wear it on our face. That it spills over to the outside. It envelops my whole life. And the same thing is true about Yeshua. Sometimes there's a salvation which is like a nice little feeling on the inside, but sometimes you're bursting. You're bursting with simcha because there's a salvation that what? That spills over to the outside. V'chol ha-Yeshuos, three lines from the bottom, al yedei ha-Sviros, Hashem mashpi alanu k'noda. All of the salvation comes by way of the various channels of the Sviros. L'chein k'sha Hashem sholeich le'ish Yeshua al yedei eza Svira. So when Hashem sends down a particular type of salvation, whether it's through chesed or gvura or teferes or netzach or hod, whatever it is, azrak imrak mibachinas or pnimi shel ha-Svira, meyer lo, as a gam shor pnimi shel sfira gedola harbe, gam meor makif shel ha'ish, mikol makom, kevan shemin or prati ba, l'chein gam Yeshua rak b'chinas pnima nite. Let's explain. When Hashem sends a particular light, when Hashem zaps you with a particular light, even though when you get zapped with the light of the salvation of any sfira, it's bigger than you, so really it should automatically spill over. Right? But because it's coming from a particular channel, what the Rebbe is saying, since that Ur Pnimi, even though it's a Svira Gedola, which is bigger than the person, but in a certain sense it's a contained energy. It's a directed light. It's a Yeshua that has a particular manifestation. It's an Ur, like he says on the top of the next page, an Ur Prati, a particular light. So again, Hashem has the ability with great precision to kind of zap us, you know, right in the heart with that particular drug that we need, that particular Yeshua that we need. In accordance with our particular need. Again, even though every salvation of Hashem should be explosive, but Hashem gives it to us in a way that it's directed, that it penetrates to the inside of a person in a particular way. Masha ein kein kishamin or makif shel asiraba. But when Hashem sends some of that external light, whatever that is, that or makif, that outside light, that enveloping light, when Hashem gives us a taste of that, so then we burst. As gam lo Yeshua rabba v'chinas makif. Then you become enveloped. It's not just a little feeling in your heart. You become totally wrapped up in that salvation. Because it's coming from a place of a makif, from a surrounding source. And therefore it's yoser harbe mikafi hatzarech lo niten. It's given to you in a way that's much more than you deserve, and maybe even much more than you really need. It would have been enough to just have Haman's decree negated. You understand, Purim could have been a very somber day. Purim could have been a very intense day of tshuva and tefillah, very somber, recognizing we were nearly destroyed and Hashem saved us. It could be a very intense and serious day. And Hashem decided, nah, I'm going to let it spill over into what? Into this awesome combination of Yira and Ava, like we spoke about yesterday, Mishkan and Mikdash, all combined together. Right? Gilu Berad, Vigilu Berada, as we spoke about, Begamatria Purim, to rejoice with trepidation. Right, so Purim, Hashem gave us like all of the feelings. Purim is the all-encompassing Yom Tov. The Svarim say Purim contains within it all of the Yom Tovim combined. Okay, let's pause for a second. Yeah.
The Rebbe is saying that it's two different manifestations, or it can be both at the same time.
He's saying sometimes you get zapped with a Yeshua of an Or Pnimi, and sometimes Hashem gives you a Yeshua from a place of Or Makif. And it may be in response to what you're going through. I mean, if you have a little problem, so Hashem, right? So you need a little bit of medicine. If you're, God forbid, if you're deathly ill, so you need a lot of bit of medicine. You need a different type of healing, right? You may need to be, I don't know, put into a certain environment, right? Where every detail is being watched over. As opposed to take this pill twice a day and, you know, let's talk in a week, right? So depending on how bad the situation is, that's how much Yeshua a person needs. Yeah? Does that make sense? You want to add anything? You want to say something?
Is there ever a time where you don't say Hashem for your pain?
No, of course. Of course. Of course we have to always, you know.
Why would you want to accept? Why would you want to be happy if you're overwhelmed in pain? If you're deathly ill, how are you going to say thank you, Hashem, for putting this on?
How are you going to say that? I don't know how you're going to say that.
But why are you
going to
say that?
Because kol ma'ad avid rachman l'tav avid. Everything Hashem does is for the best. Gamzu l'tova. I'm not saying that's an easy thing. But that's not the Rebbe's point. The Rebbe's not focusing on that so much. The Rebbe's talking about the response that Hashem has to our suffering. Sometimes small suffering gets a small salvation. But if you're willing to suffer big, right, and the Rebbe here obviously was talking to people who are suffering in a very significant way, so then you can be zocha to a big Yeshua, okay? An Or Makif type of Yeshua. Yeah, you wanted to say something?
No, I was just going to ask, but I think the Rebbe answered.
Okay.
Just about like the light, meaning the light that you're getting, is it specific towards a certain, like, midah,
yeah,
to fix something?
For sure.
Like a certain specific thing, and then it just happens to be too much so that it surrounds us, but is it limited?
You're saying, does it start by filling the kli and then spill over, or does it just wrap?
Well, I assume that, but does it then still be only to use for that tikkun, or that specific
right
reason?
I think again, once it envelops, right? So it has many other, right? It affects, right? I mean, even if it was started in a particular way, once it spills over, so it actually creates, right? It touches other parts of the person, maybe that were not as much in need, and that's what he's saying. An Or Makif treats a person even more than Kefitz Archiosav, even more than his needs. So I mean, he says, like, here's my particular problem, and Hashem gives you a salvation that definitely fixes that, but also touches up a lot of other things, because your mom is swimming in that Yeshua.
Not just more than you need for that specific.
Correct. Okay. So now the Rebbe, you want to add one thing?
No.
Sure? Okay, so now the Rebbe contrasts Chanukah and Purim. And even though, it's important to realize, even though Chanukah is really the last of our Yom Tovim, you have to understand, in a certain way, it's very important to understand this idea. Purim, even though, again, from a chronological standpoint, Purim took place between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, right? And Chanukah took place a couple of hundred years into Bayis Sheni, in the middle of the Second Temple period. But on a certain level, Purim is really the Achris. Purim is really the last of the last. Okay? Again, even though from a chronological standpoint, Chanukah historically comes after Purim, on a certain level, Purim is last. Okay, we pointed out there are 613 mitzvos, right? Daraisa, and 7 mitzvos derabanan. Number 619 is Purim. Number 620 is Chanukah. 620, we said, is Gematria Keser. Chanukah is sort of the crowning Yom Tov, that finishes it all off. And Purim is 619 is Gematria Achris. It's the last, right? But there's an inyan of last. Again, Amalek, Rishis Goyim Amalek, V'achriso Ade Oved. Purim has a lot to do with first and last. Okay, so again, even though you'll say, what do you mean, but there's still Chanukah to come afterwards, on a certain level, Purim is the biggest. And again, we spoke about how Purim is Lanetzach, Purim is even in the times of Mashiach. Could be Chanukah is also, again, it's very nuanced and it would take a long time to try to even, go through that sugi right now. Okay, but I want you just to realize, because the Rebbe is going to make it sound like Purim is bigger than Chanukah, and in a certain sense it is. Even though Chanukah really gets us through the last stretch of darkness of Galus, in a certain sense, Purim is the final, even though there's something after it, Purim on a certain level is really the final tikkun of sorts. Okay, let's try to explain. V'efshar b'shvil zeh b'neis Chanukah shahaya bi'eret Yisrael. You have to understand, on the one hand, Chanukah is more broken because it's an exile while still in the land, right? They attacked the Beis Hamikdash. We were in the land. They didn't kick us out. It's not Bavel. We weren't exiled to Bavel. We were in Eretz Yisrael. So Chanukah, because it's in Eretz Yisrael, because it's in a Zman where we have a Beis Hamikdash, even though the Beis Hamikdash is under attack, the salvation that takes place is in accordance with their needs. Bilvad, shenishtacharu min soneihem shebo aleihem, to free them from those enemies, to defeat Yavan. They didn't need to expand themselves or conquer, right? We were already on our home territory. So we had an internal problem. We were in Eretz Yisrael. We had a Beis HaMikdash. After Chanukah, we would get back the Beis HaMikdash for another 200 years. 207 years. But there was an internal problem. Masha Einkein, says the Rebbe, but Purim, we were what? We were out of our element. Purim, and therefore, even after the Purim salvation, the Gemara says, "Akati avde achashverosh anan." Even after we were saved from Haman's plot, were we a sovereign nation? Were we self-governing? What does the Gemara say? "Akati" means still. "Avde achashverosh anan." Still, we were servants of Achashverosh. We didn't get killed, but we were still living in Achashverosh's kingdom. How does the Megillah end? It talks about Achashverosh decreeing taxes, and Achashverosh is still in charge. Mikol makom, nonetheless, lo bilvad shetzarchi yoseihem nismalu v'lo hargu asam. So therefore you can read the Megillah and you can say, okay, it was a small salvation. No, it was the biggest salvation. Not only were we not killed and spared from our enemies' plot against us, right? Not only were we no longer sick under attack, But v'nahavachu, we flipped the script. And we attacked them. We defeated them. Right? Our efforts spilled over to defeat our enemies. V'yahargu behem kamar avavos. As the Megillah itself outlines, we killed many thousands of our enemies. Uhu de'isa b'pardes. And this is what we find in the writings of the Pardes Rimonim, Kabbalistic work. Deba'or makif ein shum pagam sholet. However, we spoke about Yechida a lot this semester. We spoke about the Pintaliyid. On the one hand, you probably sense the Pintaliyid is somewhere deep, 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 buried deep, the deepest part inside of a person, but in a certain sense, that's not true. Because if you remember, we learned that Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama are within a person. Your nefesh is in your liver. Your ruach is in your heart. Lev tahor bara li alokim v'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. Your neshama is in your mind. And your chaya and your yechida level of soul surround a person. It's a makif. It's outside. It's not even connected to the body, which is why the body can die, right? But the neshama can't. This is a part that's just, it remains totally pure. So it says the Pardes that the or makif ein shum pagam sholeh. No pagam, no damage can take place there. It's perfect. It's untouchable. When Haman is trying to destroy the inner essence of a Jew, which is not really inside, it's really surrounding, right? That's impossible. You can't touch it. It's untouchable. It's like trying to kill God. You can't do it. V'lachein muter lichones betalis katan v'tzitzis lebeis hakise. Here's an amazing thing that maybe you never thought of. Why are you allowed to wear tzitzis in the bathroom? You wouldn't wear your tefillin in the bathroom. You wouldn't take a sefer into the bathroom. Yeah, you're allowed to wear your talis katan. You're allowed to wear your tzitzis in the bathroom. How could that be? The answer is because it's a makif. You're enveloped in it. It's like that enveloping light. It's like that enveloping level of the soul. It's the part that's untouchable and cannot be destroyed, cannot be damaged. And therefore, even in a beis hakisei, keivan she'ena klipos shel beis hakisei ne'achazos betalis katan v'tzitzis. A talis katan and tzitzis represent an or makif. It's untouchable. Lachain b'neis Chanukah shahayu be'eret Yisrael u'beis HaMikdash. So when we had the salvation of Chanukah, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, when it was Kayam, hayu ru'uyim yoser li'Yeshua, we were more worthy of salvation because we were still in the land and we had a Beis HaMikdash. We were suffering with a particular problem that we needed a particular fixing, so Hashem sent Yavan after us and we fixed the problem. And we re-inspired ourselves to appreciate Beis HaMikdash, and we got it back. V'lachein yachla ha-Yeshua li-mashech gam me'or pnimi v'haysa rak kefitzar chiyuseim. And it really was an or pnimi. It was literally the light of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That's an or pnimi. However, what about Chanukah? Oh, what about Purim? Purim is not a little menorah burning inside the Heichal. Purim is la-Yehudim ha-Sora. The Jews become the light. Spills out into the streets. Masha'ein came b'purim in a golus of Akati Avdi Achashverosh, where we're living under a foreign authority. So even though we're not, you know, killed by Haman, we're still surrounded by Achashverosh. We're still living in that kingdom of Achashverosh. Lo hayu ru'uyim kol kach le'geula. We weren't really worthy of geula. We had many, many, many averos that needed a major tikkun. Shei kitruk. There was a tremendous kitruk, like the Medrash says, against us. And more than that, as we've said many times, it was already signed and sealed. We were as good as dead. Not a small problem. Not you stub your toe. Not your stomach or your head hurts. Right? Not even a major surgery of an internal organ. We're talking about the whole person being dead from head to toe. So what's going to save us? What could possibly save us? Hutzurcha ha-Yeshua lavo me'ur makif. So we needed, the only way to get out of this was what? We needed something to scoop us up, to wrap us up, to envelop us, to put us into a special controlled environment where we could be healed from head to toe. To be wrapped up, she'ein pagam v'kitrug sholeit, in a way that what? That no pagam, that no damage. We had to go to a place that was pure, that was perfect, that was absolutely healthy. And therefore the celebration, the salvation of Purim is much bigger than a particular need. Because we were dead. We weren't injured, we were dead. We needed a tchias amesim. We needed a total transformation. And therefore, again, it's not the inner light of the menorah like Hanukkah is. Right? But it's Laihud Maisa'ora that spills out again that the joy is just what? It's mamish. The same way Mordechai was screaming in the street because he couldn't contain the pain that he felt when Haman made his plot. So now the Jews are singing and dancing in the streets with such awesome joy. Does anyone even remember the question we started with? Why does it start by telling us that Mordechai is what? The Jews were so happy when they saw the Tcheles Mordechai. They saw Mordechai's Talis. Who cares? That's a detail. Not a detail. What Bnei Yisrael noticed when they saw Mordechai wrapped, right? Wrapped in what? Wrapped in such royalty, right? Spiritual royalty. Levush Malchus. And Tcheles Mordechai, the Tzitzis of Mordechai. Says the Rebbe in the last paragraph, V'zeh Shoshan as Yaakov, Tzahala v'samecha, V'rosam Yachad, when they all together realized, ah, Tcheles Mordechai. Wow, look at Mordechai. They realized, Shekashero Shagam b'poel, Nislabish v'bigde Yasha. Mordechai being the Tzadik Hador, being a manifestation of the entire nation, when they saw that Mordechai was physically wrapped in garments of salvation, the Jewish people said, we're not just going to what? We're not going to be a little bit healed or a little bit fixed. We're going to be entirely recreated. They understood that the Yeshua is going to come from such a big place. And therefore, Purim is such a big Yeshua, that's why it lasts forever. That's why it gives us hope in every generation. Ubein ru'uyim legamre, whether they were entirely worthy. Bein shelo yador ro'uy legamre, or whether we're not worthy. This is the Rebbe again, davening to Hashem, saying, Hashem, I'm sure you have your calculations, but this we have never hurt as badly as we're hurting right now in 1942, as a people. And therefore we need a Yeshua on the level of, or makif, a surrounding light, an enveloping light. A light that's willing to see the good in us, even if we're not worthy. Timshach Yeshua miPurim l'chol doros Yisrael. And not only that, like we said, Purim is forever, so we should be able on Purim. The Rebbe is saying this. We should be able to borrow from the salvation of Purim to save us in the Holocaust, to save us from the Nazis, Yimach Shem, to save us from the modern day Amalek. Kevin she'oz bePurim ha'isa Yeshua mibechinas or makiv she'in sholed pegam v'kitrug. There's no pegam. There's no damage. There's no kitrug. There's no opposition. There's no slander of Haman that can be considered at this time. But rather the salvation which just continues to flow and to overflow forever and ever and ever. Okay? That's the Rebbe's Torah from the year Tav Shin Beis. Isaac, what did you want to say?
Oh yeah, what is it?
Kitrug means like a prosecutor, right? Ein kategor nasa sanegor. Right? Like we say, that we don't wear gold. The Kohen Gadol doesn't wear gold in the Kodesh Kedashim on Yom Kippur because Ein Kategor, you can't let the prosecutor be a Sanegor, be a defense attorney. So if he made a Chet Egel out of gold, it would be a bad idea to come before God saying, I'm sorry for my sins, dressed in gold. Kohen Gadol doesn't wear gold. So Kategor, Kitrug, means prosecution. Okay, so we try to go on Purim to a place that is beyond any prosecution, where there's no critiques, where there's no pagam, where there's no damage. We reach the part of the Jew, the yechida, again, the part of the Jew that is entirely pure and innocent, regardless of whether or not, you know, on a lower level he's worthy or not. It's an ur makif. He just gets scooped up in the hands of Hashem. Yes, Eli.
I just have a question, Jared. Why are the Jews on Purim considered Yehudim when before the Torah earlier on they considered Yisrael?
Yeah. Yehuda is the lowest name that you could say for a Jew. The Gemara says the definition of a Yehudi is kol shekoifer ba'avodah zarah. As long as you deny avodah zarah, you're a Yehudi. Which is interesting because maybe the biggest problem the Jews had was that they're bowing down to Haman, which maybe was. Right? So ironically, it's almost like the Megillah is saying like they never really, the Jews didn't really bow down to Haman. Which is what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says in the Gemara. They only bowed externally, they weren't really bowing to Haman. But Yehudi means dafka, the lowest Jew. It's the whole dir b'tachtonim idea we spoke about, you know, from the lowest place to dafka, be able to connect from there. Also, it connects to our other shir about, you know, yudke vavke and yudhe and yudhe, right? Because Yehuda is gematria yudhe, it's gematria 30. So Yehudi represents a sort of, again, a certain naturalness of a Jew being able to serve Hashem in gashmius. And Yehuda represents just a very base level Jew, not even a Yaakov, not even a Yisrael. Yehuda is very, very posh name for a yid.
It's interesting because even Haman recognizes that we're just a people within a nation.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, Ozzy.
Sometimes I feel like it's tough to generalize the message that Greg is giving, especially when he did receive the salvation.
Right, right. That's the hardest part. That's a very hard part. Right, like, how could such a, right? Like, I'm convinced, you know? I think this is a good enough Torah to end the Holocaust, but apparently Hashem didn't, and that is very hard, that the Rebbe didn't survive, and that the Rebbe's tefillos weren't answered, right? But he's revealing to us what we can try to do, and it gives, you know, probably a big nachas ruach to the Rebbe's neshama, is that when we feel that overwhelming sense of simcha on Purim, when we allow our joy, not just for fun, but to enjoy, to celebrate the salvation of Hashem, and to realize that I'm not just making contact with Hashem in some small way, but I'm totally enveloped, totally wrapped up in Hashem, completely surrounded by Hashem, and to be able to feel that simcha, that it spills over, right, to the point that a person's like ready to burst from just that joy, that's tapping into this Or Makif. But it is hard. It's so sad. It's so sad that Hashem in his infinite wisdom couldn't answer the Rebbe's tefillos. I don't know. It's hard. It's very hard. Yeah.
Why can't we go into the bathroom with a talis on then?
Right, so that's what I was waiting for that question. So why can't you wear a talis gadol in the bathroom?
Because right? I know if I want to give this over to someone, that's
right.
That's
right. You can wear it, right. Why dafka the Indian of talis katan and tzitzis can go into the bathroom, but the talis that a person wears for davening, right, a talis gadol, right, is it because it's a beged that's miyuchad for tefillah, so it gets transformed in some way? It's a good question. It's really a Kabbalistic idea, but just to answer Pashut, I'm not even sure what the right answer is, you know, in terms of the Pashut shot. Why is it considered disrespectful to wear a talis gadol? I think even more, it's more of a makif, right? It's really lesatif. I'm wrapped in it.
Maybe it's too much. Too much.
We have to work on it. As someone who knows a lot more would be able to answer it in a second. There must be a very simple answer in Kabbalah to why that is. Yeah, we should call a friend. Mirzchem, we'll call after we do the other piece. We'll call one of our experts to inquire. Okay, let's go back to Nun Vav. I wanted to do the bigger piece first, partially for the sake of time to try to pace ourselves, but also because I want to end with this one. Okay, because Purim's the Achas. This was the piece of Purim Torah that saved my life. This is the piece of Purim Torah that saved my life. What I mean by saved my life? I mean that I did not appreciate Purim for about 30 years of my life. I had a very hard time with Purim. It's a lot of pressure. It's very overwhelming. And we're sometimes not sure how to tap into the simcha of the day. And this piece taught me how to really enjoy Purim. Okay, so this is how the Rebbe gave me Purim through this piece. Yeah.
So in the last piece, the Rebbe spoke about the Or Hamakif, and there are like certain types of miracles that like have that like all-encompassing type of nature. Is that like something about where the miracle is coming from, or is that something about how the miracle is received?
Both. It's a response to the degree of suffering, like we started with. It's also about being able to receive it in a way that overwhelms you, in a good way. Right? And it comes from a place of makifin. It comes from that place of makif. Okay, Chaver, let's take a look. This is a really important piece, and I'm telling you, it goes way beyond Purim. Way, 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 way beyond Purim. I would say this is one of the most Avodas Hashem Dika pieces we've learned in the whole Sefer. Okay? In terms of internalizing, I'd be like, yes, you know, this piece you have to live with in a very real way. The last one is more of a hergish, but this is a whole derech hachayim. This is a whole hashkafas hachayim. Okay, says the Rebbe. Now you have to understand, 1940, Purim time was really bad. Like, things were really, 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 really bad. That's part of the reason this piece of Torah is so short. The Rebbe got together with a couple of people. It was a really, really bad time. And Bechlal, you understand why a Purim Torah from the Piyazetz Rebbe is one of the most, you know, difficult things to imagine. We're talking about people who are clinging to life, right? And that, you know, just as I picture this scene for a second, you know, like we're talking about Jews sitting in the Warsaw Ghetto starving, having lost relatives, scared for their own lives, and then all of a sudden, like, someone walks in with the speaker playing, like, Misha, 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 like, not feeling it, you know what I'm saying? Like, not in the mood for this. Very hard. How do you experience Simchas Purim in such a place? What could the Rebbe possibly say? I mean, put yourself in his shoes for a second. Pretend you're the Rebbe. You have an achrayas to be machazek yidden, not just generally, but on Purim, right? Marbim b'simcha. These people are literally suffering in a way that is beyond human understanding. And now they're supposed to just what? Put on a costume and smile for Purim. Yisa b'tikunei zohar kadosh. B'tikunei zohar tells us, we all know this teaching, Shapurim ki yom hakipurim. That there's some relationship between Purim and Yom Kippur. In fact, we've said many times that the tzaddikim tell us that Purim, in a certain sense, is bigger than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. It's a day like Purim. It wishes it could be Purim. It's trying. It's like Purim. It's a wannabe Purim. Yom Kippur is a wannabe Purim. What on earth does that mean? Ef shemram is gam lizeh. Shekamo Yom Kippurim. Hatanis va'tshuva b'yom zeh. Just like on Yom Kippur, the Rebbe is saying to the people, I know you're not, Rebbe's being very honest, I know you're not in the mood for Purim. I know your personal situation does not allow you to be in the mood for Purim right now. But just like on Yom Kippur, we fast and we do tshuva. Lo im rotza osam adam la sosam osa. We don't only fast on Yom Kippur if we're in the mood. We don't only do tshuva on Yom Kippur if we're in the mood. Tshuva and fasting is a very uncomfortable experience. Fasting, some people find it very, very difficult. I don't know anyone who finds it super easy. Everyone feels a degree of discomfort when you're fasting. And tshuva, on an emotional level, should be very uncomfortable. Because if I'm really talking about the ashamnus, bagadnus, gazalnus of my life in a real way, I'm painfully embarrassed. It hurts. It's very painful to come clean before Hashem. And to acknowledge the fact that Hashem gives me all this life and all this goodness, and I throw it back in his face and do averos. So Yom Kippur hurts. Physically it hurts, emotionally it hurts, and yet we do it. Rak bein im rotza bein lo, whether you're in the mood for Yom Kippur or not. I have a headache. Yeah, I'm still going to fast. Right? I don't know, you know, I have a lot on my mind. It's hard for me to... Tshuva is uncomfortable for me. We're going to do it no matter what. We do it because a Jew has to do the right thing because it's the right thing. We don't only do mitzvahs when it's comfortable. So the Rebbe says a shocking thing. The Rebbe says to Jews in 1940 in Poland, the Rebbe says the same thing is true about Simchas Purim. Simcha, and this is the point that I want you to take with you forever, Simcha is not just a response to how you're feeling. Simcha is not, I'm in a good mood, so I'm happy. Simcha is part of Avodas Hashem. What does it mean, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha? Either I'm happy or I'm not happy. What does it mean to work on that? Ivdu means it's an avoda. Simcha is not just a response, so I'm having a good day, things are working out for me, so that's why I'm b'simcha. No, simcha is an avoda. A person has an obligation to work on simcha. It's something a person has to work on. It's something that a person has to work on. The Baba Varebi, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, who lost so much of his world during the Second World War. When he came to America and he was rebuilding, so he was sitting one time with a group of survivors, a small handful of survivors. And he was sitting with them and it was Zman Simchasenu, it was Sukkos. And the Rebbe was trying to help people to feel the Simcha of Sukkos, Zman Simchasenu as we call it. And they were struggling, rightfully so. They had lost everything. They were mamish, you know, the Sheiris HaPleita that just came out of the Holocaust, that remnant of Jews that survived. The world had been destroyed. And the Baba Rabbi said to them, I want to give you a perspective on Simcha. Because they were not in the mood for Simcha. They were not in the mood for Zman Simcha Seinu. Right? They were not in the mood for any of this. They weren't feeling it. They were not interested in a Simchas Beis Shoeva by the Rebbe's Sukkah. But they were there. You know, they were there. They were sitting, you know, arms folded and hurting, rightfully so. Their pain was very, very real. And the Rebbe read to them the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Lulav, Sukkah and Lulav. There's a Rambam over there. We probably have it on the shelf over here. But the Rambam says that the Simcha... Oh, can I borrow your...
You got your whole big Rambam there, right?
Let me do the Lashon.
It's an amazing Lashon. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Sukkah v'Lulav. Go. Oh. The Rambam writes the second to last halacha. It's Parches Halacha Tesvav in Hilchos Sukkah v'Lulav, Shofar Sukkah and Lulav. The Rambam says Shasim. What the above Rebbe told those Jews: Shasimcha sheyismach Adam ba'asiyas hamitzvos uva'avas hakel shetziva b'hem. The joy that a Jew feels in performing mitzvahs and in the love of Hashem as commanded. There's a mitzvah to love Hashem, right? Say it in Shema, v'ahavta. You have to love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. The Rambam says, avoda gedola hi. Simcha is a big avoda. It's an avoda gedola. V'chol hamoneya atzmo misimcha zo, and anyone who holds himself back from the simcha, prevents the simcha, Ro'oi li para mimenu deserves to be punished for it. As it says in the Tochacha, Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem lokecha b'simchu v'tuv levav. At the end of the Tochacha, it's an amazing thing that we find. Scariest psukim in the entire Chumash. What does it say over there in Parshas Kisavo? After all this presentation of a Holocaust, what does it say? You know why all of this happened? It's a very hard pasuk. Tachas, because... because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. So the Rambam says, it's an avoda gedola. Simcha is not something you just have, if I'm in the mood for it, then fine. Then it's a response to how I'm feeling. Simcha is a mitzvah. Simcha is an avoda. You have to work on being besimcha. So what the Rebbe is saying in his first pshat,
to these Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto, the Rebbe is saying an unbelievable thing. The Rebbe is saying, just like on Yom Kippur, we do it because it's holy and it's important, even if it hurts. So too, Purim, Simcha, we're obligated to feel on Purim. We have to do it even when it hurts. It's such a powerful idea. Kein gam Simchas Purim. Lo rakim ha'odam me'atzmo besimcha. However, Purim is not a choice. It's an or makif. We're swimming in it. We have to. It's an obligation. But I'm not, I don't know, Purim's not my thing. It's so... It has to be your thing. You don't have a choice. You have to be besimcha on Purim. You have to figure out how to do that. Because being a Jew is not only doing what feels comfortable. This is the ultimate ben hafachu example of it. Simcha on Purim should be the easiest mitzvah of all. And yet sometimes we're not in the mood. Sometimes it's hard to tap in a real way. But we're obligated to do so even when it's hard. Right? Yom Kippur is hard, and Purim is also hard. But you have to do it. You have to do it even if it's hard. You need in whatever way you're able to get to that state of simcha. The Rebbe is saying to these Jews, I know you're not in the mood for Purim right now. I know Purim is salt in your wounds because you're waiting for your own salvation. Even when a person feels broken, his mind is distracted, his spirit is crushed. It's a law, it's a halacha. He needs to work hard on Purim at the avoda gedola of simcha. And that's true not only on Purim, that's true every day of our lives, because ivdus Hashem b'simcha. Mitzvah gedola l'alios b'simcha tamid. Simcha is something that we don't think of it that way. We think it's just like an emotional state of, if I'm in a good mood, I'm in a good mood. If not, I'm not. It's an obligation. You're supposed to. Having a kavu called them b'seir panim yafos. Right? Greet people with a smile. It's sometimes very hard to do that. It's hard work, but it's an avoda. That's the Rebbe's first shot. But it's the second shot that really saved me.
and taught me that Purim is always successful. Even when it seems like it's not successful. Everybody's saying to Jews who feel that this Purim is not going to be a Purim. Even if we force ourselves to feel a little simcha like the Rebbe just told us, it's not going to be a Purim. This is what the Rebbe said. V'chein gam milamala lamata. And the same thing is true from the top down. The same way that we're working our way up to try to reach up towards Simchas Purim, Hashem is reaching down. What does that mean? Kemo sheyom ha-kipurim itzumo shel yom mechaper. Listen carefully, Chevra. The Gemara says that just like on Yom Kippur, itzumo shel yom, the essence of the day brings kapara. Yom Kippur has this awesome ability to what? To help a person. As the Gemara says, Va'afilu emlo hishlim kol tshuvaso amar Rebbe shemechaper lo. Even a Jew who comes to Yom Kippur and he tries and he feels like, I could have done more. I was into it by Kol Nidre. I was a little late for Shacharis. I was very energized for Musaf. Then I half slept my way through Mincha. Then I got excited for Ne'ilah, right? I'll give myself an 85 on my report card for Yom Kippur. Right? Could have done better. And that's why Motzi Yom Kippur, we're davening Marv, and already Slach Lanu, Mechal Lanu, I could have done better. Right? That's a terrible attitude. Because we have to believe, yes, on the one hand, yes, we always have to try to do better. Yes, if we're honest, we try to do better. But Yom Kippur works. Yom Kippur works. Itzumo shel yom mechaper. The essence of the day works its magic. If you take a dirty garment and you throw it into a washing machine, the garment doesn't have to work. The machine's doing the work. Hashem's cleaning us, scrubbing us down. If you exist in that space called Yom Kippur changes you. Even if what? Even if you don't complete the tshuva process 100%. Itzumo shel yom is mechaper. So says the Rebbe, if that's true on Yom Kippur, and I'll be honest, should I be honest? I'm going to say if maybe that's true on Yom Kippur, because we actually don't paskin that way on Yom Kippur. We actually don't paskin like Rebbe. Even though we could try to chassidically force out a psak, if it was a Yom Kippur shir, I would go there, but not now. But on Purim, we definitely paskin. On Purim, we paskin, you know, it's not really a psak, understand what I mean, but we paskin that itzumo shel yom mechaper. Kain gam bepurim. Av shelo haya ish yisraeli besimcha kafi shetzarach lios. Even if I didn't achieve this level of awesome or makif level simcha, if Purim didn't work out exactly the way I had hoped it would go, umemela kol avodaso shebepurim lo haisa b'shleimus. And he feels I didn't have the Purim that I imagined I would have. There's so much pressure on Purim sometimes that it should be a certain way. That the Suda should be a certain way. That the dancing, the singing should be a certain way. That the Adlo Yalda should be a certain way. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way. I love learning this piece with young married guys who come to me with tears in their eyes saying, Rebbe, I'm going to my in-laws for Purim and I don't know what's going to be. And last year I was with the Chevra, we had a Geshmak Suda, and it was awesome. We went for hours, and it was unbelievable. And now I'm stuck with my wife's parents, and it's going to be like a Thanksgiving Suda, you know? And it's going to be, my father-in-law's a Litvak, and it's, you know, and you can go on and on and on and on, worrying about, it's not going to be Purim. The Rebbe says, then you don't believe in Purim. If you need Purim to be your way, there's two words in the Megillah to describe that. You know what it is? Machshev es Haman. That's called Machshev es Haman. That's Haman who needs to control the environment. The whole point of Purim is Bittul. The whole point of Purim is Bittul, is surrender. So don't tell me like we're having an exclusive Suda with just these guys. We're starting exactly this time. We're going to do like this. Just let it go. This was so freeing for me. When I realized that I don't have to do anything to make Purim great, I have to just be a makabel, I have to just be a kli and say, Hashem, I'm ready to receive Purim, wherever, whatever, however. I don't really care what the levush is, like we learned from the Lubavitch Rebbe and Yonashel Torah Sachasidus. It can wear any garment, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're with this chevra or that chevra, it doesn't matter if this or that, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. No one can ruin Purim, and no one can make it better per se. When I realize that, that Purim works its magic on its own. Mikol makom ha-yeshua va-simcha sha-Purim poel al Yisrael, gam atar poel va-osa. Purim is going to do what it needs to do. You don't have to be nervous. And I hyped it up a lot this year. We've been learning about Purim for like 6 weeks now. So there's like a lot of pressure that it should be like a good Purim, you know? Otherwise, like all the Torah that we learned is like Racha Levatal. It's tremendous pressure, you know? I got to get here and I got to get there. I'm going to stop by this one. I'm going to be by that one. And, right? That's all Machshev HaSaman. So let me add. Let me just add to this a little bit. Okay? Let's learn the Megillah. We haven't even opened the Megillah once together. So let's learn the Megillah for a couple minutes. 2 to 3 minutes. Okay? Let me just paint the picture for you in the Megillah. This is one of my favorite varts. It dawned on me a couple of years ago. It seems so pashut. Mamish right in the psuk. What is the problem that Achashverosh is facing in the first parak? And this is just going to prove what the Rebbe is saying, to further prove what the Rebbe is saying. Not that it requires any proof. What is Achashverosh's problem in the first parak? Achashverosh does not feel that he has control of the situation. Achashverosh is very paranoid, rightfully so. He's not from royalty. He bought his way to the top. Vashti, his Rebbetzin, is from the royal family of Bavel. She comes from royalty. She comes from nobility. And Achashverosh is trying to assert his authority. He makes a party. He invites the right people. He's got a whole plan. And then he tries to show that he is in control of his wife Vashti. And he asks her to appear in the crown, Bekeser Malchus. According to the Gemara, she writes back to him. She sends a letter back to him. You're a clown. I don't have to listen to you. You're my father's stable boy who made a lot of money in crypto and bought his way to the top. And I don't serve you. And he's furious because his whole thing is trying to show that. What do you mean? Comes along a fellow named Mamuchan, which the Gemara says is Haman, and gives him advice. You better stop this rebellion immediately. Because this is going to have a ripple effect. This is not just one woman rejecting her husband. Right? This is the queen rejecting the king. And then all the women are going to have disrespect for the husband. It's going to lead to a whole breakdown. That's what he says. It's before the Megillah. It's going to lead to a breakdown in society. So you better make sure that the women respect their husbands and that you stop this. Otherwise, there's going to be... And this is Achashverosh's biggest fear. He's trying. He rules the whole world. Mehodu v'ad kush. He's molech mehodu v'ad kush. I'm in control of everything. All the land is under my watch. This is like the worst. He's furious. And Mamuchan Haman gives him the idea, you better stop this. Good. Next. Beauty pageant. He picks Esther. Why does he like Esther so much? Very tsanua. Very quiet. Ain Esther Magedes Asamba. She doesn't even reveal her nationality. That's good. Right? She's not coming from a certain place. She's willing to just kind of be botel to me. She's quiet. She doesn't cause trouble. Gevaldik. She's the one. She's great. Perek Gimel. Haman comes to power. Yeah? Achashverosh appoints Haman. No one's booing for Haman? It's a boo.
Boo!
Yeah? So Haman comes to power. And everyone is bowing down to Haman, with the exception of Mordechai. They have to know what the Berditchever says. Kedushas Levi says that Mordechai did not have to bow down to Haman. If you read the Psukim carefully in the third parak, it says, whose idea, who commanded that everyone needs to bow down to Haman? Achashverosh. It's Mefurash of the Pasuk. Ki kein tziva lo ha-melech. The king commanded that everyone needs to bow down to Haman. And then the Pasuk says, U'Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachavem. Kedushas Levi reads that Mordechai was exempt from bowing down to Haman. Because he was also a high-ranking officer in Achashverosh's cabinet. And yet, the Pasuk says that Mordechai would go around and he would announce to everyone when they said, why aren't you bowing down? What should the answer have been? Because Achashverosh gave me an exemption. Mordechai didn't answer that way. What did Mordechai say? Ki higi lehem asher hu Yehudi. The way the Berditch or the Rekidusha Slavi reads it, Mordechai says to them, you think I'm not bowing down to Haman because Achashverosh gave me an exemption? That's not true. I don't care what Achashverosh says. I don't care what Haman says. I don't bow down because I'm a Yehudi, because I'm a Jew. So now you understand the rest of the psukim. Haman gets so angry. Haman says what? Haman says, I can't just kill Mordechai, right? I have to what? I have to kill these Jews. And he comes to Achashverosh and he says, Achashverosh, I need to let you know that I found the root of your greatest fear. What's your greatest fear? His greatest fear is controlling his kingdom. So you should just know, by the way, comes Haman, who personally now was just insulted by a Jew who rebelled against him, a Jew who flaunts his Judaism as a way of disregarding the law of the land. And he comes to Ahasuerus and he says, you should know, Yashno Am Echad Mefuzar Mefurad Bein Amim. You have this people, they're scattered throughout your kingdom. B'chol Midinos Malchusecha V'daseim Shonos Mikol Am. And their law is different than everyone else. V'ez Dasei HaMelech Ein Amosim. They don't follow the king's rules. And therefore, V'laMelech Ein Shov V'laHanicham. The king, it's not worth keeping them around. These are your spies. These are the people who are going to ruin your whole kingdom. That's his biggest fear. Haman personally, who's a control freak, needs to control the environment. Mordechai won't bow down to him. He's going crazy. Ahasuerus is going crazy. We gotta get rid of this problem. These people who think they can do whatever they want. Yeah? They sit down to drink. They sign the deal. They sit down to drink. And the city of Shushan is Navocha, is terrified. Adkan, the third parak of Megillas Esther. Here's the amazing part. Listen to this. Mordechai says to Esther, we got to do something. I need you to go into Ahasuerus and plead on behalf of your people. And Esther says back to Mordechai the following. Esther says the following to Mordechai. Vatomer Esther lahasach. Esther says to Hasach, go tell Mordechai. She's Hasach's the messenger. Go tell Mordechai. Kol avdei ha-melech va'am medinos ha-melech yodim. Everyone in the land knows. Asher kol ish v'isha, asher yavo el ha-melech el chater ha-pnimis asher lo yikarei, that anyone who comes into the king's inner room without being summoned, achas daso lahamis. The law is singular, that the person is executed. Unless the king sticks out his scepter. What is Esther saying back to Mordechai? Mordechai, your plan is literally the single worst plan possible. However, think it through for a second. Ahasuerus is paranoid that what? That people don't respect him. That's why he liked Esther to begin with. That's why he got rid of Vashti. Haman is personally insulted that what? That this Jew, who had a government exemption, is flaunting the fact, I don't care about government exemptions. I do what I want because I'm a Jew. I don't bow down to you, Asher. Who Yehudi? So Haman is personally insulted. He goes to Ahasuerus and he says, what? There's this people. They're no good. They think they can do whatever they want. Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad. They have their own rules. They're the biggest problem in your kingdom. You got to get rid of them. Ahasuerus says, great point. That'll help me finally get control of my kingdom. Mordechai says to Esther, I need you to go into Ahasuerus's inner throne room in violation of the most famous rule in the entire kingdom. Everyone knows, Esther says, everyone knows. Kol avdei ha-melech va'am medinos ha-melech. Yodim, everyone knows the most famous rule in the kingdom is what? You cannot, chas v'shalom, cross that line. If you walk into that room unannounced, achas daso lahamis, off with your head. So you want me to walk into the room to break the most famous law in the land. And then when Ahasuerus looks at me and says, Esther, what on earth are you doing? What am I supposed to say? Let me explain. What's her explanation? What is Mordechai asking her to do? Go explain what? Go tell him that what? That I'm Jewish. You understand why that's the single worst plan possible? Are you following this? You understand why that's the worst idea ever? That's literally exactly the point that Haman made to him. That Jews break rules and think they can do whatever they want. So she's supposed to break the most famous rule in the land and then explain herself, no, you don't understand. Let me explain why I'm here. I'm Jewish. And he'll be like, yeah, exactly. You Jews think you can do whatever you want. You just proved Haman's correct. That is the worst plan possible. Esther sends back to Mordechai. That is literally the worst plan possible. There's a lot of things we can do. I'm in a good position. We can maneuver. That is the worst. To walk in, to break the rule, when he's paranoid about people breaking his rules, and Haman is paranoid about people breaking his rules, and the two of them are working together to destroy Jews because they're convinced that Jews are the ones who always break rules. You want me to walk in, break the most famous rule in the land, and declare myself to be Jewish? That is a terrible idea. And what does Mordechai say? You should do it. Why? And she does it. And it works. Why? Because Chevra, what we just learned from the Pia Zetzner Rebbe, on Purim, your Ishtadlus means nothing. Your Ishtadlus means nothing. It's a mockery. Mordechai is making a mockery of Ishtadlus. See, usually throughout the calendar year, we have to balance Ishtadlus and Bitachon. How much do I trust Hashem, and how much do I make thoughtful, mature decisions and good efforts to improve my situation. But on Purim, the way to defeat Amalek, when you're dealing with a Haman who loves to control everything, we have to go to the opposite extreme. We have to go to what? To a place that's total bittul, total emuna, total tefillah, and we have to make a hishtadlus that's literally laughable. We do a hishtadlus that is the worst possible plan. It's the worst possible plan. It's not called hishtadlus, it's called stupid. But Mordechai is making a mockery out of hishtadlus. He's saying, look, I want to show you, it's not about hishtadlus. It's not about all of your planning. Right? As I told you, you spend the month of Adar learning and learning and learning all the kavanas, all the ideas of Purim, and then you come to Purim and you throw the whole thing away. Ad lo yad. And you trust, like the P.S.S. the Rebbe just taught us, that what? That Purim will work its magic. Don't get locked into a certain plan for Purim. That's called Machsheves Haman. Trust that the Tzumo Shayom is Mechaper. We now have the opportunity to give some tzedakah. Go. Talk to us.
I'm talking for an organization in Israel called Yosef Chai. We deliver money on Purim to families in need for them to have their meal. This money is going to count for Matanos Avyonim. I know personally two or three families that get this money, and it's a great help, and these people are very appreciative of it. If you'd like to donate,
we would love to donate.
Thank you.
Okay. Would anyone else like to donate?
Yes. I'll be on the fourth floor.
Okay, while we donate, we're going to sing. That's okay. Like who dem la yudem ay saira vizimcha vizazan vigal ay who dem la yudem ay saira vizimcha vizazan vigal ay who dem la yudem ay saira vizazan vigal ay who dem la yudem ay saira vizimcha vizazan vigal.